Happy Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Eve or whatever to you. Hi to my sister. She's waving at me down there because she always watches online normally, so I can't believe she... Nice.
There's no controlling
you. And I wouldn't expect that. You come from a disturbed family. Well, okay, you're done. I have a few things, three things really, that I want you to add to your to-do list. Now, this is a really busy time of year, so I understand you have a lot of stuff on your list. But sometimes there are things that don't get put on the list that really should. There are some things we do instinctively. I don't have to remind myself to breathe or to eat or things like that, even to go to sleep. Eventually, you get sleepy. But we have a lot of things that we know we need to do, but we need to tell ourselves that we have to do it. And so some of us have a list of those kinds of things to do. Well, I'm going to add three to your list because they come from God. They're what it says they're God's will. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16, Paul says, first of all, rejoice always. In other words, continue to find reasons to have joy. Secondly, pray without ceasing. Don't ever forget to be praying. It's not that you pray every second, but you keep on praying. You create a habit of prayer. And then the third thing on the list, in everything, give thanks. Whatever's going on, find something for which you can be thankful, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So these are three things that are God's will. You can wonder, oh, what's God's will? Here it is. Here are three things definitely. And this Thanksgiving, if you will specifically, intentionally practice these three things, check them off the list, you're going to have a better weekend, week and weekend, than you will otherwise. So rejoice always. A lot of times as Christians, we act like God wants us to rejoice. We sometimes quote in Philippians 4 where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And we use in the Lord as a qualifier. That means like it's not real joy. It's like some deep spiritual joy that doesn't show. There was the old song we sang when we were kids. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And so many Christian people, their joy, if it's there at all, it is way down in their heart and it's staying there. It isn't ever going to work its way up to their face. But I like here that Paul doesn't make this a big spiritual joy. It's just rejoice always. It is critically important for each of us that we find joy in our lives. And at the same time, it doesn't usually happen for most of us unless it happens intentionally, because so much other stuff comes along that we have to deal with that doesn't give us joy. But in the end, finding joy is incredibly important. It's critical for us. We are designed in a way that we will be healthier if we laugh sometimes, if we find something that just puts a light touch on everything. In this day and age, there aren't a lot of things that are being crammed down your throats that will give you joy. Now, Marie Kondo, that organization, minimalist lady, says that you should get rid of everything that doesn't give you joy. And that's not bad, because ultimately in life, it's that joy that is the essence of experiencing life to the fullest. It's why Jesus said, you know, when there were kids climbing all over and playing with them, and the disciples are like, let's get the kid. And by the way, if you have kids that make noise, don't worry about it. It's fun. But Jesus, the disciples were like, let's get rid of the kids so we can get down to serious business. And he's like, are you kidding me? Unless you become like a little kid, you'll never have a clue about the kingdom of God. Which, I mean, you don't have to teach kids to goof around. They just do it naturally. they have that joy. They can find joy in really difficult, and I've seen it in other countries where they don't have the fancy toys, they don't have a bunch of stuff, but you don't have to teach them to play. You don't have to teach them to have joy. It happens when you're a kid, and if you have kids in your life, they will pull it out of you a lot of times. As far as I'm concerned, when we get to heaven, it's going to be a whole lot more like a nursery than it's going to be like a sanctuary. Because he said, unless you become like kids, heaven's going to feel really weird to you. When Paul gave the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, he said the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then he began to describe love. And the first description of love is joy. Back in Nehemiah, when the people were like weeping because they realized how bad they had been, he said, man, don't mourn and weep. The only strength you have is your joy. That's what makes it possible for you to experience life. And I think that we need to be reminded of this because a lot of times we miss joy because we're trying to get other stuff done. But put it on your list and ask yourself, when was the last time I just laughed? When was the last time something happened that just made me feel like, wow, this isn't serious. This is just something I can enjoy this moment. If you hang around kids, it'll become easy for you to do because they instinctively know how to do this. Eddie and Sally McCray, who used to both be on staff here at our church, their son, Isaiah, was always just a really funny kid. Everything he did was funny. I remember one time Eddie got him on his phone and video, and he said, show me, Isaiah, what would you do to the devil? And he starts throwing karate kicks and yelling and throwing punches, and then he ends with two manual obscene gestures. And I think God was like, that's awesome. That's it. You get it, Isaiah. That's exactly it. So this week when I liked on Instagram when I saw that Isaiah had, they had the awards banquet for their school. And Isaiah won an award for being the class clown. Isaiah's like a brilliant kid. He's really smart. He gets great grades. But I told Eddie, I go, there's no award that you should be more proud of than he's a class clown. Because someday that class clown is going to do more that matters in life than every one of those other hardworking, disciplined nerds that there is. At graduation, they should never let the geek do the speech. They should let the class clown do the speech. People wouldn't hate graduation so much. You know, we see this all the time. One of the things I'm so thankful for at church, we have to deal with a lot of really serious problems that people are having, and it's hard, but I'm so blessed with a group of, like, every person on our staff is funny. And when here comes an email thread or whatever, it's like, it's always funny stuff. And when I'm with the worship team back in the green room, it's like, it's always, we're laughing, we're fun. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't take anything serious. It means we understand that you need to check joy off your list because that's what allows you to be able to deal with all of the other stuff. Today, Pastor Ken, a few weeks ago, had given me some Zip Fizz. It's this powder that, you know, he knows I use 5-hour energy drinks, and he goes, I tried that Zip Fizz, but it wired me so much that, you know, I can't use them. Do you want them? And I go, sure. But I was afraid to try one on a Sunday. So yesterday I thought, I'm going to try one of these things. The instructions are very basic. It's a little thing of powder. You pour it in a 16-ounce water bottle, and it fizzes, and then you drink it. What could go wrong? So I'm sitting in my office, and I get that stuff, and I look, the bottle's pretty full, so I drink a little of the water to make some room for the powder. I start pouring it in, and it's like a fifth-grade science project volcano. It's like, and it's coming out. I'm trying to catch it. I'm sucking it off the bottle. I'm like getting it all over me. I'm cursing Ken. No, not really. I'm just like laughing uncontrollably in my office. And so I've got this stuff all over me. I finally guzzle it all down, and it didn't give me any energy at all, but the laughing was good for me for sure. And then I go into Jerry's office to tell him about it. And Jerry, hey, look at this. And it was some TikTok video that was something hilarious. And it's like, what would our lives be if we didn't have opportunities to laugh? Now, laughter is risky. Joy is always risky. Because, and I know people who, I don't even know when the last time they ever experienced joy, or they just hold it in really well. But, and that's one reason why, if I goof around or say something that offends people, I don't really mind if someone leaves, because I'm like, either, if you hang around here a little while, either you will learn to laugh, or you will decide that you don't like joy, and you'll go somewhere else, and that's fine, because there are plenty of churches where you can go where nobody's ever going to smile. But, you know, it's like, this is the heart of what we are and who we are. My wife, Ann, was always the class clown. And it's one of the things that I love about her the most to this day, because she, when she gets with our grandkids, she can be as silly and goofy as possible, because that's who she is. And I'm telling you, those are, you know, you look at your life and go, those are the moments that you treasure most, those moments of joy. And so Paul is just going, don't forget that. Check it off your list regularly. Am I doing anything that truly gives me joy? My brother Steve, who is really struggling with a lot of medical problems right now, but he was telling me the other day, as he really made an effort to go to the movies with his granddaughter, and it was hard. It's hard for him to breathe. He breathes on a machine. But he was telling me about little Gracie. She looked over at him and was throwing popcorn at him during the movie. And he said, that's why I want to still live, because of that. That's joy. And so, you know, here Paul's reminding us, always, regularly, find joy in your life. I could give you a ton of medical studies that show that people who laugh and people who experience joy, people who have lightness in their life, will tend to live longer. They will tend to be stronger psychologically. They will tend to form better friendships. Their families will stay together more in every way. And so there's a bunch of reasons why this matters, but it matters. And you can decide not to check it off your list this week, but it'll be at your own peril. I would encourage you to intentionally. Those of you who are like constantly bombarding yourself with all the bad news of the day and all of the, oh, you know, this is happening to the virus and the this and the that. No, they're doing this. And in Australia, they're arresting people. Why don't you just watch TikTok videos for a while? It would be way more edifying for you. You know what? I'll summarize all the other stuff for you. Yeah, the world is a mess, okay? And it's true. But you aren't helping it by reading about it. Sometimes people send me TikTok videos that I'm like, oh, that's not funny, or that's offensive. But I don't get mad at them. It's like, it's a joke. So if it's not funny, don't laugh. But don't get all offended by it and stumbled and judging people, because there are like five times as many people who send me videos that after watching an hour-long video of some guy ranting and raving, you know, with conspiracy theories and everything else, I'm like, the conclusion is, oh, we're in big trouble. You know what? Sometimes I feel like we are in big trouble, but I don't need to be reminded of that. Once in a while, I just need to laugh at a funny video. And so I don't even know how to use TikTok, by the way, but I'm thankful that half of our staff spends most of their day on it. And so, to me, that's probably the best thing they do for me, is every once in a while, you know, Al and Jerry constantly sending me these TikTok videos, and so I don't even have to look for them. But, you know, there are some times when it turns out that was the best thing that happened today. Maybe I had a chance to minister to somebody who's in incredible pain. But when it comes down to it, by the end of the day, I'm thankful that I could be there for that person. Part of the reason why I was there is because I watched a video that was marginally appropriate, but hilarious. And I'm like, okay, keeps me going. And so rejoice always. Check that off your list sometime this week, I would challenge you. find some, if nothing is funny to you, you've got a serious problem. Because this world is hilarious. You just have to look for it. Secondly, pray without ceasing. Create a habit of prayer. One of the ways I do this is, and you tell people all the time, they tell you, oh, something's bad's going on, and you go, hey, I'll pray for you. Well, I make sure I pray for them right then so that I don't keep an elaborate list or whatever. When I get alone with the Lord and pray, I pray for whoever comes into my mind. But whenever someone tells me something they're going through, if I say, I'm praying for you, I pray right then. That way I don't lie and say, I'm going to pray for you, and then I forget to. But prayer is something that you need to constantly return to. Because in life, the answer to stress, besides joy, is prayer. You're taking your problems and you're saying, God, I'm giving these to you. I want you to have these. It's an intentional release of something that you can't do anything about anyway, and you're releasing them to someone who can do something about it. And so, again, it's Paul's just reminding the Thessalonian Christians, hey, don't give up on prayer. I mean, prayer is not the way you get everything you want. So if you pray for something and it doesn't happen, don't give up on prayer. Pray without ceasing, because that's the way we release the situations to God. It's something constructive that we can do, and sometimes it's the only thing we can do. You know, we're surrounded by people who have all kinds of needs. Most of their needs and most of their problems we can't fix. There are people in your life who they come and even ask you for advice. You give them your best advice, they never take it. And you feel drained because you're like, guy, if you had only done what I told you to do. But you know what? There are some people who just don't want to do it. It's okay. So you commit it to the Lord. You go, God, I was honest with them. I shared with them the best I can. This is hard for me. It's hard for me to let go of something because I think I can fix people just because I may have ideas that they haven't really tried yet. But at the end of the day, it has to be the best thing I can do is just go, God, will you please work in their life? Because you have ways of doing this. See, the amazing thing about God is he knows how to fix everyone, but he doesn't fix everyone because he gives us an opportunity to have input and influence on our ultimate outcomes. The truth is, and we don't like to admit it, the responsibility that we have to form our own future is profound. It really is. It's like what you have done has largely formed who you are and what your life is. And what you do today is going to greatly influence what your life becomes tomorrow. And so there has to be a time when we can just go, God, I'm giving this to you. And besides that, I got enough issues myself that there's plenty of stuff I need to pray about. I need to pray for God to give me wisdom. I need to pray for him to give me strength and discipline and everything else that might give me an opportunity to make the best choices that I can make in order to produce the best life that I can possibly have. God wants that for you, but he doesn't force it on you. But he says, I'm here and I'm listening and you can always come to me. And so you're on your checklist. You have rejoice and pray. And don't ever stop doing either of those. You have a constant, endless need to bring joy and prayer into your life. But the third one is the one that we particularly celebrate this week. In everything, give thanks. There's a ton of, I was reading through a bunch of studies today that showed the medical and the psychological benefits of people who are thankful. Even people who are thankful to the universe or whatever, there's something in us, we are designed to be grateful, to show appreciation, to be thankful to other people, and to be thankful to God for what he has done. And so Thanksgiving is kind of one day when we're like, okay, what are you thankful for? Jesus? You know, and you're trying to come up with what are we, the truth is, we need to be thankful in everything because all around us, every day, do you know how many good things had to happen so that you could even be here today, tonight? So that, you know, that you had transportation to get here, that you have a place to live that's close enough that makes it possible for you to be here, that you even, the technology that allowed you to even find out that what we are doing, the way in which it, what all that it takes for a church to happen so that a church can do what a church does, it's like there are a million things that we can thank God about just for us being able to be here right now. In everything, that's the way it is. We shouldn't have to really sit and think hard about, let's see, what am I thankful for this year? Get in the habit of recognizing there are things all around you that you're thankful for, if you think about it. The greatest of which is that the God who made all of this loves you. He sent his son to die for you, gives you an opportunity to be forgiven. I mean, if God never did anything else other than send Jesus to die for me, and then I had a horrible life, and I died a terrible, painful death, and I ended up in heaven? It's like, what, am I going to complain about, man, are the Lakers ever going to start winning again? Or how can the Dodgers win that many games and not advance in the playoffs? Or, you know, how can this person at my work act the way they act? Or how can, you know, that political issue go the way that it does? Or how could, you know, it's like, come on, I wouldn't care about any of that stuff compared to the good news of the gospel. And that's something that we all have in common because if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus, you know what? He died for you too. And I promise you, even though I've been a Christian for a long, long time, if you have never really considered yourself to be a Christian and you're just like, I don't know, he loves you just as much as he loves me. And he cares about you. And if you were the only person on this planet and me and all these other holy people weren't here, and he would have sent his son to die for you. And you know what? I'm thankful for that, not just because he died for me. I'm really thankful that he died for you. I'm thankful that I can tell you that God loves you. And so looking around, it's not hard to come up with things to be thankful for, but it just doesn't happen automatically for most of us. Now, with any of these things, with joy, with prayer, with thankfulness, there are some people that it just seems to come naturally to them. It just seems like they're just those kind, they're just happy people. They're just grateful people. They are just prayer warriors and they don't have to work at it. Great. You know, if that's you, awesome. But for most of us, he commands it. All of these in the Greek are in the imperative. He's saying, you need to do this. And they're in the present tense, which means continuous action. I'm telling you to do these things regularly as a discipline. These are more important than you working out or eating right or doing whatever else it is that you think, I need to do this or I want to do that. It's like, can you decide to try to be this kind of a person? A person who finds joy, a person who goofs around and laughs and has fun, a person who prays regularly and asks God to bless others, a person who, when they feel like they're stuck, asks for help, a person who is grateful and thankful for anything nice that people do for them. Maybe you're just naturally that way, but for most of us, we need the discipline of putting it on our to-do list and checking it off every once in a while. When was the last time I experienced joy? Check. When was the last time I really prayed? Check. When was the last time I was thankful? Check. But Thanksgiving's a good time to think about all of these things because people sort of expect it. So I would challenge you to check all three of these things off tomorrow as you celebrate Thanksgiving. It'll be a pretty easy time for you to do it in general. If you're gathering together with a bunch of people, find somebody that can that looks like they can make you laugh. Find somebody else that looks like they need prayer. Find somebody else that, you know, you can tell them thank you for something. And then check, check, check. You've done what God wants you to do. And I love this, that he says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For you. God doesn't tell us to do stuff like this for his benefit. It's not like, oh, poor God, he's going to feel really hurt if you don't do these things. You know, or, oh, God's going to get really mad if you're not this kind of person. No, he's like, this is for you. This is for your own good. When you laugh, when you have joy, when you goof around a little bit, when you take life less seriously, it's not for God. You don't think he thinks what a joke most of what we worry about is? In Psalm 2, it talks about the whole all the nations of the world gathering together to war. And it says, you know, why do the heathen rage? The people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth take their stand against the Lord and against his anointed. Sounds like today. And it says, but he that sits in the heavens will laugh. Most of the things that we're worried about, he laughs at. So, but he doesn't want you to laugh for his benefit. He wants you to laugh for yours. This is his will for you. You decide if you are going to allow yourself to experience this joy that he says, I want you to do it. It's a fruit of my spirit, but you are commanded to do it as well. Same thing goes for prayer. Prayer isn't for God. Don't think of God as being in heaven just all bored and lonely because nobody will talk to him. God's just fine. He wants you to pray for you because he knows that will allow you to unload a bunch of stuff that's sucking the joy out of your life. And so that prayer, he loves answering those prayers. He likes hearing from us. He likes having a conversation with us. But prayer isn't for God. It's for us. And so he goes, I'm telling you, check this off your list because this is God's will for you. And ultimately, being thankful, again, don't think of, well, it's Thanksgiving, so poor God, this is the only time people really appreciate him. And no, he's, for one thing, God knows that we will never appreciate him as much as we should. But God is not some codependent, you know, weirdo that does things for you so that you will love him. God's not like that. That's what like a narcissist does. God does things for us because he just loves us and he wants to do it. And if we don't ever pay him back, if we don't ever love him back, if you are here today and you just decide, I don't want Jesus, he still loves you just as much. He doesn't make him mad when you say that. If you're somebody who, like, I believe in him, but man, sometimes I really wonder. Sometimes I have doubts. Sometimes I can't figure out, you know, what I believe. He's not like, what? Slapping you around. How could you, how dare you do that? He's like, it's okay. I get it. It's okay. You're safe because I love you. And it's safe for you to wonder, and it's safe for you to struggle, and it's safe for you to battle with this life. But do it finding joy. Do it and at least talk to me, and ultimately you're going to find out that you have a lot that you can be thankful for, but it isn't for God. I mean, I'm sure you know people who do things for you because they want you to thank them. And sometimes you have that feeling like you did something really special for somebody and then they're like, oh, and push it aside. I mean, like even little kids when it's Christmas, they get like tons of gifts and so everybody's wanting to watch them open the gifts. Some of the gifts are just stupid. And yet if you're the one that gave them the stupid gift, you feel like, oh, how dare. And then parents are always telling the kids, tell Auntie Sue thank you for the lovely socks. And God's not like that. He gives everything, but it's for you. If you enjoy it, if you don't. If you're thankful, if you're not. If you are showing joy and appreciation, if you pray to him or not. He loves you just as much. It's his nature to be giving in an unconditional way. And the more we understand that he is that way, the more we are safe to be who we are. Some stuff happens, I don't like it. I tell him that. Some things happen, crack me up. Something that's happened, make me cry. That's okay, I'm a human. I go through all of these reactions, but I just, for my own good, not for any other reason, for my own good, I want to make sure that I'm finding joy somewhere. Even if my joy is laughing about how ridiculous things are, like God does in Psalm 2, I've got to find that, and I've got to check that off. And if I'm really on a roll, I want to make somebody else feel that. I want to say something that makes someone else laugh or feel better or get a healthy perspective on what's going on. At the same time, I wouldn't want to go through life without prayer, because then I've got stuff stacking up on me. I want to release that stuff so I can get other stuff stacked up on me, but I pray, and I don't stop doing that. I keep that flow, keep that movement going. And when it comes to Thanksgiving, I want to not only feel thankful, but I want to express thanksgiving and gratefulness to people, to God, to others. It's, you know, it's such an important thing for me to be able to do. And I don't need to thank God or people because it'll make them feel good. It may, but ultimately, this is for me. When I am thankful, it flows out to others, but it ultimately frees me up, because the more thankful I am, the more I realize, I'm really lucky. I'm blessed in so many ways. And so then whatever else, something doesn't go my way. It's like, I don't know if the Lakers won or lost tonight, but they were in overtime, and then it was time to worship, so I never checked the rest of it. But it's like, I like the Lakers, but I'm not going to feel like my life stinks because the Lakers blew another game. I'm so thankful for so much that whatever else happens, if the turkey isn't good tomorrow, which I don't even really like turkey, and there's something about that's disgusting about seeing a turkey posed that way, but you know, that's just me. But I know that people I love are going to be over at our house, and sometimes that makes me thankful. Sometimes that my inner, you know, introvert kicks in a while, and I'm like, oh, I got to get out of here. But you know what? I'm thankful. And that thankfulness, it's selfish. It's for me. Because God says, this is what I'm doing for you. This is my plan, my will for you. I want you to rejoice, to laugh. I want you to pray honestly, regularly. And I want you to be thankful in a way that allows you to see yourself through my eyes. That's what I pray for each of you. I pray that you will put that on a little checklist, and by the weekend that you will have been able to go check, check, check. Let's pray. Lord, how I thank you for joy. How I thank you for laughter, for the frivolous, senseless comedy that's a part of life. Because it does, it gives us a perspective. It's a relief valve for us. God, as I see our world, that we've just completely lost our ability to have a sense of humor, I see that we're missing out. Lord, help us to find those times of joy this week. And prayer. Help us not to pray as an obligation, but to pray as a privilege. Just to talk to you so we can get stuff off of our chest and put it on you. And then tomorrow especially, to focus our attention on how lucky we are, how thankful we are for all the good things in life that ultimately we're still here because the good outweighs the bad. As bad as the bad is, the good outweighs it all. And we thank you. And help us to be the kind of thankful people that appreciate other people and let them know as well. But Lord, thanks for letting us get together tonight. Thank you for what you're doing in all of our lives the rest of this evening and into tomorrow. Lord, it's not like going to be a big religious service tomorrow, but I know that you're there, and I know that you are enjoying seeing us rejoice and pray and say thanks. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you need any prayer, or maybe you're like, I don't know, I've never really totally given my life to Jesus and you'd like to, we'll have some people down here in the front who would love to pray with you. Or if you just feel like, man, I'm overwhelmed right now, come down and let somebody pray for you before you head out the door. But I pray that for all of you, for all of us, that, you know, we would just have a blessed day tomorrow doing these things that the Lord tells us that he gives us these things for us. So let's be a little selfish tomorrow by being people who laugh and who pray and who say thanks. Nate's going to lead us in a final song. Why don't you stand?
I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Bless the Lord and bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. And sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Yes, I will worship your holy name. Oh, I will worship your holy name.
All right, well, happy Thanksgiving. God bless you guys.